according to Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpected like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Some of you may have heard this before, but I love the season of Advent. I love the deep blue pyramids, these colorful textiles that are signs of what church season that we're in. I love the Advent wreath and how it fills the darkness of this time of year. The sun is going to set tonight at 4:35 p.m. I love how Advent provides a different energy than the hustle, bustle, brightness, and sometimes too forced cheer of this time of year that the reign of the world has already thrust upon us. I love that Advent sits. It almost revels in waiting for the next thing to happen. The waiting for the next thing to happen. What a gift. This waiting. It's a counter narrative to the rush of the season. You've got concerts and parties and holidays and gifts and exams and Christmas at Luther coming up this Friday, right? You've got all these things to get ready for now. It's almost this breathless move to Christmas joy. You got to get there. And that right quick. And Advent says, whoa, 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 whoa. Slow your roll. Wait. Pause. Actually, stop. Breathe. Be. It's almost a counterintuitive, certainly a countercultural response by those who are followers of Jesus. So why do we do this? Well, because it's in our DNA as followers of Jesus. As those claimed by God in the waters of baptism, as those who follow in the footsteps of our ancestors of the faith. Our reading from Luke today is his version of Mark's chapter 13 that we heard a few weeks ago. It's an apocalypse. Now remember, apocalypse means a revelation, to unveil something so that you can see it differently. It leads us to a change in our thinking about God, the world, and humans. This is not the first time God's people have sat amid a moment when the tension between the nations is like the tectonic stress between continental plates that we wait with bated breath to break free with explosive power. This is not the first time that God's people have lived with decline, with destruction, with challenge. The Jews knew what it was to live both in slavery and in exile. The early church knew about persecution, the destruction of war, the challenge of a society that did not appreciate them and were at times openly hostile. Some people respond with fear and fainting. Some are weighed down by the worries of life about what is to come. Some give up hope in the face of challenge and change. Some cling to the past, living in yesterday, not tomorrow. But our response as people of faith is different. Jesus says in Luke, to not cower, but to look up and stand up. To keep our heads high and our eyes on the horizon in the face of these tectonic stresses. Paul in 1 Thessalonians says we react by continuing to grow in love for one another. In fact, to overflow with that love for one another and all image of God bearers. To be a fountain of love in the midst of the world that seems to be falling apart. In Jeremiah, we see the repeated idea that we react by being a people of righteousness. The term in Hebrew is tzedakah. It's translated as righteousness, but it has something of the flavor of justice to it. Rabbi Stephen Schwarzschild puts it this way. The substantive view of justice, the tzedakah, is concerned with the full enhancement of human and above all of social life. It suffuses all human relations and social institutions. And so the faithful Jewish response to times like these is not despair, but the looking forward to a time when society will be ordered according to principles grounded in caring for one's neighbor and the stranger. It's a vision of society where we, where the haves, understand the obligations both to the have-nots and to the community of, as a whole. In ancient Israel, tzedakah, this righteousness was not merely a personal virtue, but it's a communal responsibility. We talked about this a few years ago when we talked about faith, right? It's a communal, it's a y'all thing. Tzedakah is integral to the covenant relationship between God and Israel. It reflects God's nature and God's desire for God's people. It mirrors God's own justice and righteousness in their social lives and their religious lives. In short, it's being who God is. And so in the midst of all the turmoil, the Jewish community responded with even more righteousness, with even more just relationships between themselves and their neighbors, especially those neighbors who were in need. We live in a time where at least the public perception is one of division. And partly that's because we have financially incentivized that view, right? We incentivize getting clicks. And how do you get clicks? You get clicks by stirring people up, not by telling them about all the good things that are happening. But we are what we consume, right? And so that idea of division, real or not, has become entrenched, at least in our minds. We live in a time that has seen as much conflict between nations as I can remember. Tensions with China, Russia, Iran are not at Cold War levels, at least not as I recall it, but they are present. I was talking with a young adult about this the other day, and they wondered, how do you respond to this? What do you do? And it was a question that almost had an echo of hopelessness in it. And then remembering my scripture, I responded this way. You live as the human being that you want others to be. All we can control is ourselves, and that's hard enough to do, right? But if we as followers of Jesus respond as Scripture, our ancestors in the faith, and our Lord Jesus call us to respond, then the world will be a better place, at least our corner of it. Maybe not now, maybe not even tomorrow, but we trust, as our ancestors in the faith trusted, that it will be so in the future. And that's what hope is. Hope is a firm confidence in God's promises, even when they are not immediately filled. A trust that even though right now I'm not okay, everything's going to be all right. And we live out that hope in the midst of the I'm not okay. In the midst of a world filled with strife. By responding as people of hope. Not people of despair or destruction. Not as people who ignore the problems, but who have the confidence that this too shall pass. There's a quote that is often attributed to Martin Luther that might or might not be an accurate one, but I think it captures both the essence of this idea and of Martin Luther himself. The story goes that when asked what he would do if he knew the world was going to end tomorrow, Luther reportedly said he would plant a tree. He would continue to live as the person of faith that he is right now. One who stands up with head high, who overflows with love for all human beings, who strives for right relationships with those same human beings, all of creation and with God, who, as Luther would put it, sins boldly and trusts in God's forgiveness for the rest. Unlike the world around us that has already rushed to Christmas, we hopeful followers of Jesus are at the genesis of the season of Advent. And so we wait. And we watch. And we breathe. And we hope. And we be. We be who God has called and equipped us to be. We be who Jesus Christ has loved us to be. We be pursuers of justice, lovers of human beings, trusters of God. And in so doing, we prepare for that morning. We don't know when the reign of God will be made complete in the world, and there will be no more war, no more injustice, no more death, no more fear, no more despair, when division will be no more, and all of creation will be reconciled with the loving God who made it and looked upon it and called it good. It's a time we wait for and a time we live in. It is anticipation, this waiting for the dawn of a new day. And that is the very definition of hope. Thanks be to God.